Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Everybody, surprise, got a solo edition of Top Rope Nation here for you on a Monday afternoon. I believe this is episode 345 of the show. Quite honestly, I was thinking about doing this show all weekend. I did the Bleacher Report show right after Clash at the Castle on Saturday, and I was talking to my wife. I'm like, you know, I should do a Top Rope Nation right now. I just talked about it. It's fresh in my mind, but the kids were a little crazy, so I didn't do it. And I didn't have a chance yesterday, obviously being Father's Day, but I was sitting around today. I was like, let's put out some content. I can do a solo show. I've done this many times before. So Justin and Jesse, I know Jesse has watched all but the main event at this point in time. I'm not sure about Justin, but their availability didn't allow them to do a show. And I wanted to get out in front and get this show out there for our listeners, for our viewers here on Twitter, on YouTube and everywhere else, and talk about what we saw on Saturday with Clash at the Castle. So hopefully you guys are watching live and you're going to be active in the chat and you give me some people to talk to. We'll make it a little bit more interactive, maybe just me hosting the show this week. But yeah, I wanted to dive into Clash at the Castle, talk about what we saw over in Glasgow, Scotland. They had a raucous crowd of over 11,000 fans. Now, if you watch this one on Peacock live, you would have thought that this was a stadium just by the way it sounded. As we've seen, you know, constantly with these international shows, the international audience is absolutely phenomenal. They were as loud as a stadium. 11,000 people sounded like 41,000 people. They're just great crowd in Scotland, just like what we saw in France, like what we saw in Puerto Rico, and all the way down the line. So I hope that WWE continues doing these international shows. I think when you look at the shows that have been here in the United States, sometimes you get really good crowds, other times not so much. It kind of depends on the market. And of course, Chicago always has a great crowd at the Allstate Arena. But man, these international crowds are totally next level. And it makes watching the show so much more enjoyable, I think. That crowd just translates into high energy. And it makes a show like this, which maybe on paper, pretty average show, maybe a little bit above average. It sets it over the top a little bit. So if we get into the grades right away, as we often do on these PLE pay-per-view review shows, and look at, you know, how we, the host of Top Rope Nation, would grade it, I would give it a B. And I always talk about my criteria. An A-level show needs to have a match of the year contender. A B-level show needs to have something that I would go back and watch again. And then for me, a C is an average show. I'll put this at like the B minus to B range. Just I'll bump it up from the C range because the crowd was so phenomenal. There was some low lights on the show. There's some real highlights, but there was also some things that really had me scratching my head as to character development in this promotion, who is playing what role, and what that is going to mean for SummerSlam? I see some of you are joining here in the chat right now. Give me your grade. Let me know what you thought of Clash at the Castle. If you watched it, I see our guy Tim checking in. CM Junk, not a fan of Punk's interference. We'll get to all of that. Niall checking in. How do we think that they get the belt off Priest? I'm going to dive into that and what this means for SummerSlam and his direction. John Hope checking in across the pond. Let me just say, this is why I like doing these shows in the afternoon, because we have such a great listener base in the UK. Lots of them are patrons. Others are not patrons, but have been strong supporters of the show for a long time, and we appreciate each and every one of you. And I know when we normally record, it's 9 p.m. here Central Time in the U.S., and it's impossible for you guys to listen live. So I like to do the afternoon shows when I can and to get this engagement. I see the chat room just really blowing up right now. This is fun. I love this. So John says, C-plus show to a B-minus. I thought it would have been lower, but a good main event elevated it. Niall Clark, B-minus. Our guy Carl checking in, B-minus. Tim, DQ. Yeah, I would go B for sure. Let's see. Mubin checking in. He said B minus, agrees with that as well. He said not a full match that I would rewatch, but have rewatched Punk McIntyre a few times. Or McIntyre, Damian Priest with Punk's interference. Well, I'd say my B to B minus is right in line with what our social media poll showed as well. I'm putting that on the screen right now. We had just under 100 voters, and about 43% of them checked in with a B. We had 30% out of A. So overall, yeah, a pretty highly praised show we saw. I mean, that's pretty solid. D or F, 10%? God, I don't know. I could not go. People trolling there. C, yeah, I could see a C grade, 15%. So when you look at this card, all right, it's a five-match show. They went pretty much exactly 3 hours, which I like. I love the tighter shows. I talk about this on the pod all the time. I really, really like the afternoon time slot here in the US. So again, another reason I am in favor of these shows over in Europe. It's like watching football here, American football here in the United States. I can watch a noon game and then I have my whole night ahead of me. And I, you know, tune into Collision later that night if I wanted to. I saw a little bit about Collision. Maybe we'll get into that on Thursday night here on the flagship. Great time to watch a wrestling show, a Saturday afternoon. And, you know, the pre-show was 2 hours. The main show was only 3 hours. I mean, think about that. A two-hour pre-show for a three-hour main event, or a three-hour main show. Speaking of main events, obviously Drew McIntyre has to main event this show, right? I mean, he's the home countryman, the Scott coming home. He's got another chance here a couple of years after the original Clash at the Castle to capture the world heavyweight title. You got to put him in the main event. So what does that mean for Cody Rhodes, the face of the promotion right now? You got to open up the show with Cody. And that's exactly what they did. So you get Cody Rhodes out there right away, the Codelander, as Justin likes to call him. Phenomenal response, as you would expect. No pun intended, with the phenomenal one AJ Styles across the ring from him. And these guys got a lot of time. Let me check the notes here. I believe they went just under, it was just under 30 minutes. I want to say like 27 minutes this match went. Yeah, 27:45. They got a ton of time. And, you know, it's an I quit match. And right out of the gate, Cody's just beating the hell out of AJ. Bear with me. I'm not going off any notes here. This is memory from 48 hours ago. You know, they're going through the back. They fight through the crowd. They go through the backstage area. They fight down the ringside entrance, the aisle. They get back into the ring. They get weapons. You get the kendo stick. AJ gets out some handcuffs. More on that here in a second. And eventually, you know, AJ makes his comeback. You get Cody's mom down there in the front row, and her and AJ are going back and forth. And eventually she ends up slapping AJ like three times. She slaps him. She sits down. She slaps him. She sits down. So she's taking out AJ. And one of the problems that I had with this match, and you guys can let me know what you think in the chat room, I felt like AJ was not heel enough for this one. And especially when we get to the finish. All right. So I mentioned that AJ had taken out the handcuffs. Well, eventually, of course, Cody turns that on AJ, and Cody handcuffs AJ to the ropes, and he starts just beating the hell out of him with the chair. And they ask AJ if he quits. He says no. So Cody goes and he gets the ringside steps. And he lifts the steps up above AJ, you know, and he's going to take him out. And then AJ very quickly quits and the match is over. So he didn't have to take him out with the chair or with the steps. Sorry. And then after the match, you get Cody looking down at his mom. And he asks her if she would like to see him take out AJ with the stairs. And she's like, yeah, go ahead. So Cody goes over, the match is won, and he takes out AJ with this big shot with the stairs. What the hell? This guy is the top babyface in the promotion. Now, sure, if AJ had like attacked his mom during the match and really healed it up more, that would make a lot of sense. He didn't really do that. I mean, he was jawjacking with his mom, and again, his mom, Cody's mom, slapped AJ 3 times. So I felt like this was very unearned. I thought it was odd behavior for the top baby face in your promotion after the bell, not really how a face would react. And that was going to be a trend tonight, I think, is are the baby faces acting like heels at the top of the card in this promotion? And that, again, that's the thumbnail on this YouTube video right now. So you probably knew I was going to say that. Are the baby faces acting like heels in this promotion? Checking the chat room here, seeing what you guys are saying. Curtis, I give the show a B for AJ Styles. You're a wanker, Chan. All right, that was good. That was funny, Curtis. I agree. Let's see. Yeah, John, not a big fan of the I quit finish. They went back. The announcers did a decent job talking about the history of I quit matches in the promotion. I believe they said the first one in the WWE was Brett and Backlund at WrestleMania 11. But then they did go back and they called back to the ones in the NWA and WCW. So I did like the history nod there. Yeah, let's see. Carl checking it. Agree, the finish would have worked fine if AJ had been more heelish and given Cody reason to show some fire. Right. It wasn't very earned. Now you gotta figure that Cody Rhodes is he's on to new things now. You know, he had this rematch with AJ Styles, now they're on to something else. And it seemed that they clearly hinted at what that is going to be in the post-match. Because you had the interference spot and out came, or you had the attack after the match and out comes Kevin Owens, out comes Randy Orton. Basically, Cody was going up ringside and the Bloodline attacked him. But it was KO and Randy Orton who made the save. And you've probably seen the screenshots floating around on social media ever since this happened, but it basically, Randy Orton gave this little glance at the title belt to Cody, and people were very eagle-eyed, and they caught that. I do think that Cody's probably working Randy Orton at SummerSlam, almost certainly working Randy Orton at SummerSlam, and I think, you know, star power-wise, second biggest show of the year, that makes a lot of sense, so I think that that's what we're going to see. You're probably going to get maybe a six-man tag with KO and Orton and Cody against the Bloodline at Money in the Bank, which I believe is in 3 weeks. So that's going to be a quick turnaround. And then after that, it's like 3 or 4 weeks to SummerSlam. So I think, you know, they'll work this tag. Then you're going to get the turn by Orton working heel to take on Cody at SummerSlam. But certainly Cody and AJ now looks to be a thing of the past. You guys are seeing right now across the bottom of the screen the names of all of the wonderful Top Rope Nation Patreon supporters. You can join our Patreon, support the show. The link is here in the broadcast description. Lots of bonus content going on over there. We've got Top Rope Nation Classics, which we just dropped a new episode of last week. At the end of last week, we went back and we looked at the May 26th 1997 edition of Raw is War, an awesome episode of Raw. If you don't remember what was on that show, you had Owen Hart and the Bulldog against Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin. You had Paul Bearer playing up the Kane storyline. You had the sit-down interview with Mankind where he talked about Dude Love for the first time. Only way to hear that show, I think we went 2 hours and 15 minutes, is by becoming a patron. Appreciate your support. If you don't have the $5 a month to get all that bonus content, like Top Rope Nation Classics, like Top Rope Nation Extra, like Jesse's show, Top Rope Nation Unplugged, totally fine. Just subscribe wherever you are hearing this free podcast. And of course, subscribe to us on YouTube. We would greatly, greatly appreciate your support. Niall, check in with a prediction here after the six man I am predicting for Money in the Bank. He says Orton RKO's Cody after the six man tag up in Toronto at Money in the Bank. Yeah, I think that's a good bet. Definitely could see it playing out that way. Gives them about a month to build up for the SummerSlam match. I mean, I think this is a direction that all of us have seen them going with the history between Cody and Randy ever since Cody came back to the promotion. Then Randy was out with an injury for a long time. But I think this makes sense as a SummerSlam match. I'm not going to hate on it too much. It's a high star power match. So I think that they go that direction. All right. So that was the opening match here on Clash at the Castle. And this was the big surprise of the night. So they follow that up with the WWE Women's Tag Team title match. So you had the Unholy Union, Alba Fire, and Isla Dawn. Of course, Alba Fire being Kaylee Ray, who has just had a horrible month. Thoughts go out to her. She tragically lost her mom. Her mom was with her father over in Florida visiting her, and it was a tragic car accident. So she's got a real rough go of it. You know, she's a hometown gal now coming back to Scotland, challenging for the tag team titles against Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, the tag champions, and also Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. So as undoubtedly you've heard by now, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn captured the tag titles, and nobody in a million years could have seen this coming. That said, I have no problem with this. This might surprise you, but I feel that given what Alba, Kaylee Ray, gone through over the last month, given that I'm sure they wanted to give the Scottish fans something, and what we saw in the main event wasn't going to be it, as we'll get to, they wanted to give them a title change. You know, I understand the decision. Now, we on the show are pretty high on Bianca and Jade with the women's tag titles, building them up, because these titles just haven't had much steam since they started them at all. And we saw this as a way to build up their prestige for months on end and eventually get to a situation where Jade and Bianca split and they have probably a WrestleMania match. And the hope is that would be a match that could headline WrestleMania. I think that's still in the cards. The finish of this match did not see Cargill and Belair take the fall. So they were protected. I think they probably get the titles back before too long. I don't think that this is a very long title reign. I think it was just a nice thing to do for Alba Fire and Isla Dawn over in Scotland. And they'll move them back to Jade and Bianca. That said, another reason that we supported Jade and Bianca as a team is because Bianca just didn't fit into what they were doing in the women's title situation on either brand going into WrestleMania. There just wasn't really a spot for her. And her being one of the top names in the promotion, men or women, it gave her something to sink her teeth into and grow as a performer and to coach Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill, we have been high on for years on Top Rope Nation. We saw her as someone who could have been a face of AEW, but she never got there. Too green in the ring. Not working enough shows. Usually relegated to Rampage, a tape show, to help protect her. But they don't have house shows in AEW. They don't have a performance center in AEW. So I still would have built her up through NXT. She really needs the ring time. They decided to not do that. So if you're sending her right to the main roster, you're going to hotshot Jade Cargill's in the main roster. All right, that's fine. Get her in there with Bianca Belair, who can teach her. And in this match, we saw some of those weaknesses come out. I mean, she blew a spot off the ropes. It looked pretty ugly. Not one of Jade's better performances since she's been in WWE. But I think I don't want to say that it's over for her and that she's not going to be a main eventer. That I've seen people saying that on social media. That would be totally ridiculous. We have seen many people in this promotion over the years go through low points and build themselves back up to become a main event level talent. I think that that's still there for Jade. And I think Jade and Bianca are going to get the titles back and that they're going to continue this. And they're going to eventually main event a WrestleMania together. That's what I would do anyways. I can't believe that Bianca and Jade would like wrestle each other at SummerSlam already. And I saw some people floating that out in social media land. That would make no sense at all. I think they'll get the titles back sooner rather than later. And, you know, they'll go on to have these titles for many, many months. So, again, I didn't have a problem with this finish. It protected the champs. You gave, you know, Kaylee Ray something after a hellacious month. Totally fine with it. Totally fine with that. Rope botches were a trend throughout this PLE, says John Hope. That they were. And, you know, WWE, this is the only promotion that uses real ropes. You know, everyone else uses the steel cables. If you guys didn't see this floating around out there, when AJ made his entrance, the referee warned him the ropes were a little more loose than they usually are. You could actually see him like shake the ropes and read his lips. You can see he's telling him the ropes are loose. Does WWE eventually move to the cable ropes like every single other wrestling promotion in the world? Maybe. Maybe it would be safer. You know, the real ropes thing is something that Vince always liked, and Vince is gone, so maybe they do change it. Because it's a little more dangerous. They're not as reliable, and we did see that, as John said, come up throughout the show. All right, this match is 12 minutes and 10 seconds. Not a lot to write home about. The shock title change. You know, another thing that made it shocking was on Raw last week, Baszler and Stark beat Fire and Dawn in like a couple of minutes, if I remember right. Just a very quick match. So when you saw that finish, you're like, there's no way they're going to win the tag titles from Belair and Cargill. Well, they did, not directly, because they pinned Baszler and Stark, who had just beat them on Raw. So, I mean, the storytelling there, not very, not predictable. Maybe not so logical. But again, it's the tag titles. They haven't really, even under Belair and under Jay, they haven't been established as a big deal really yet. I think it's fine.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free to play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
All right, Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. This storyline going on with Gable and Otis and Maxxine Dupri is one of, actually is probably the best promote. Well, let me dial back a little bit. You got McIntyre and Punk still, but you know, Punk's not there every week. From a week to week basis, this is the best storyline in WWE right now. Gable playing this unlikable heel type, and you know, the fans really warming up to Otis, and Otis protecting Maxxine. And when is Otis finally going to turn on Chad Gable? And look, Chad Gable's had multiple opportunities at the Intercontinental title now against Sami Zayn. He's come up short over and over and over again. I would have had Chad Gable win the IC title here. They didn't go that route. Came up short again. Gable blames Otis for his loss because Maxxine had been, you know, already wearing the boot, had been inadvertently taken out on the outside by Gable, and Otis ends up carrying her off, you know, up the ramp, and he's partway up the ramp when Gable loses the match. There is another spot in the match where Maxxine almost got hit with the Huluva kick from Sami Zayn, you know, so they were really playing on the crowd's emotions, trying, you know, and Gable got tremendous heel heat throughout. He's terrific in this role. You didn't get the turn, though. You didn't get the full turn from Otis. Not yet. They're still holding off in that. And once again, Gable doesn't capture the IC title. It was a good match. This is a really good match. It went 22 minutes. Again, this is one of the decisions that I take issue with on the show, though. I would have had Gable get the IC title because he can't possibly be getting another IC title match. Unless he wins this again, he gets another opportunity and wins it on TV. I mean, the obvious direction is Gable and Otis at SummerSlam. That has to be happening. And I would like that to be an IC title match, but it's not going to be. I don't foresee it being an IC title match unless Gable gets like a sixth shot at the IC title or whatever it would be at this point in time. Some might argue that it doesn't need the IC title. I would argue that that match would get a lot more importance with the IC title. You know, they've done their best, unlike, you know, the U.S. title. I know they thought that putting that on Logan Paul would elevate it, but he's just not there enough. And I think the IC title has been elevated, you know, obviously with Gunther over the last year and a half. But I think you get that title in there at SummerSlam, you have them do the split, it makes that much more of a marquee match. Added in with the great story that those people have been telling all along. We'll see which way they go, but yeah, I would have had Chad Gable. This Chad Gable for years has been one of the most underrated people in this entire promotion. He's a phenomenal worker. He's been saddled with horrendous gimmicks. Okay, America Alpha was good. Terrible theme song, as longtime listeners of this pod know. I hated the theme song. It was a good tag team, you know, but then what happened with Jason Jordan, so he has to remake himself. Shorty G, horrible. Horrible storytelling with Shorty G. This is the gimmick you give this guy. He's recovered again. They let him be Chad Gable again. The dude is super hot in this role right now with his heel heat. Otis is getting over big time with the crowd. Story is great. Give him the IC title. Sami Zayn doesn't need the IC title. He just doesn't. All right, let's check the chat room here. I'm falling behind. This is the hard part about doing a solo show, is that I start talking and I'm like, I got to catch up here in the chat room, see what you guys are saying. Gable with the Creeds. Yeah, absolutely. Niall, I can see that happening. Let's see. We've got Mubin checking in. Could Otis take the title off Zayn at Money in the Bank? And I did what you couldn't do teacher moment to Gable to lead to Gable versus Otis for the IC title at SummerSlam. I could see that, you know, I guess just the way that the story has been built up, though, I would rather have Otis take it from Gable than vice versa. But I could see that as a way that they would recover to still get the IC title into this match down the line. So that makes sense. Is Jesse checking in from Twitter X? Just finished my shoot job. Gable's 2-10 over the last 10 months worth of singles matches. Nice work, WWE. I love Jesse. Always has the stats right there at his fingertips. What else? Carl checking in. He says, there is something about Otis in this mid-card role which appeals to the WWE audiences. He's getting similar reactions pre-COVID with the Mandy Rose stuff. Yes, he was. Yeah, I mean, Otis always gets over. He does. He's never going to be a main event level talent in this promotion. I don't see that. But not everyone has to be a main eventer. In this mid-card level, he is very, very good. The crowd loves him. And that's why Gable is so good in the role that he's been playing as the aggressive heel leader of this group. And it's why the crowd is itching for the turn. It's going to happen. But yeah, I would have given Gable the IC title finally. Here, we'll see which way they go. All right, so that was the IC title match. Moving on, the most predictable match on the card: Bayley defending the WWE Women's Championship against Piper Niven. Thank God she's not Doudrop anymore. Who the hell thought Doudrop was a good name? Piper Niven, another Scottish talent here, and this is why I say when you look at the lay of the land on this card. You got three matches with talent from Scotland, McIntyre, Niven, the Unholy Union. Knowing now that McIntyre yet again was going to fall short, and there was zero chance Piper Niven was beating Bayley with them going to Bayley and Nia Jax at SummerSlam. Again, it's why I don't take issue with Unholy Union capturing the women's tag team titles. They wanted to give this audience something. All right, so this match went 13 and a half minutes. Piper out there with Chelsea Green, of course. But yeah, Bayley goes over. Nothing to write home about. As I said, the most predictable match on the card. Easily, bar none. Could not have possibly seen this going another way. Let's see. We got the crucifix bomb in the finish, which looked really good. Bayley. Yeah, I mean, the crowd really wanted to see her with this title. She's finally got it. She's had a good run so far. They'll keep building up this match with Nia Jax. But yeah, I mean, obviously it wasn't going to be Piper Niven taking the title off of her. Bayley always delivers. Very reliable in the ring. Always over with the crowd. Go back to the pandemic. One of the most reliable performers on the roster. She made those pandemic shows on SmackDown worthy of watching a lot of weeks. So got to give props to Bayley here. Niall checking in. Wrestlers being good in a mid-card role and it being perfectly fine is a point not brought up enough in the wrestling community. Not everyone is a main event guy. Exactly. It drives me nuts. Everybody on social media wants to talk about people being underutilized because they're not challenging for the world title. Not everyone can be a world champion. They're not all supposed to be world champions. You need good talent. Challenge for the IC title. Challenging for the US title. That's his role. He is great at it. I can guarantee you there are lots of kids going to these shows. And if you ask them, like, who are the top five people that they want to see the most, Otis is up there. He's very over for what he is doing. He's not viable at the top of the card, but he gets a great response. He can totally be IC champion, and that's fine. John says, I totally forgot about the Bayley match. That's how little I cared about it. I mean, I was getting my office ready for the Bleacher Report show that we had to do the Bleacher Report watch along, myself and Matt Camp, during the main event. So I came in here and I was like setting up my lighting and stuff. I had it on my office TV, but I was getting ready to go live on BR. So, I mean, I was kind of in and out on the match. I remember the finish with the crucifix bomb was awesome. But I mean, again, I wasn't that invested because there was no chance Bayley was going to lose. There just wasn't. Carl says, when was Big Boss Man most over in the early 90s when he was past his Hogan matches? I mean, yeah, there's an argument to be made. My God, Justin Joint. All three of us really are here. Justin checking in. Obviously, he wasn't going to be podcasting tonight because his Boston Celtics remain one game away from clinching the NBA championship. Good luck, Justin. I'll be watching. All right. Main event time. Damian Priest defending the WWE World Heavyweight title against Drew McIntyre. My pick going in was Drew McIntyre. I still think Drew McIntyre should have won this match. Obviously, he didn't. The guys had a phenomenal match. I definitely have to give a lot of credit to Damian Priest. Damian Priest looked to legitimately hurt himself. He's fine now. Heard he's fine now, but he was shaken up a little bit. He went for his move off the second rope to the outside, the kick on Drew. And when he stepped off the second rope, he came off of it funky and like legitimately tied up his ankle in the top and the middle ropes, like Hangman style, was hanging upside down by his foot. He cracked his head on the ring apron on the outside. It looked devastating. And this guy still, I mean, he continued on. He looked shaken up, but he continued on. And also give credit to Drew McIntyre, because you could tell that they didn't know what to do in the moment. They didn't know how hurt Priest was. McIntyre immediately walked away from the spot. He got the camera off of Priest, and they were trying to, like, the referee was trying to get Priest out of the ropes, and he couldn't do it. Again, those ropes were real tight when they're, you know, tied up that way. Real ropes. Don't stretch like cables so much. And he couldn't get him out. So McIntyre, you know, thinking on his feet, first of all, he gets the camera off of the area while the referee is working on Priest. And then McIntyre gets back in the ring, and he eventually gets Priest out of there. So good thinking on their feet around what could have been just a match-ending spot gone wrong. Priest sold the leg throughout the rest of the match. He sold it in the post-show scrum afterwards. He was very, very good in this match. My issue with this is that Priest just does not feel like world champion. I mean, when you look at the lay of the land in the promotion, let alone Monday Night Raw, he's like four or five guys down the totem pole. And that's, again, you need those guys. Like I was just saying, he is certainly capable of being world champion. I just feel like the timing is off on this, because pretty clearly McIntyre and Punk, like I said, alongside Otis and Gable, is the number one story on Monday Night Raw. And Priest retaining in this match just makes SummerSlam not ideal, because he's going to be wrestling Gunther for the title in Cleveland, two heels. It doesn't make sense. To me, you strap up Drew McIntyre. I know, because of the King of the Ring stipulation, he has to wrestle Gunther. I would have had Gunther bow out of the match. This is going to sound weird to you, but they got the match coming up, or the event coming up in Berlin just a few weeks, I believe, after SummerSlam. You could have Gunther say, you know what? I'll let Punk take your head off at SummerSlam. You guys hate each other so much. I'll have home court advantage. I'll take on the winner over at the Berlin Bash. Let's do that. We've seen some weird ways they have gone about changing matches in this promotion. Convoluted ways they get around doing matches that make no sense. I think that totally makes sense. I think Drew McIntyre and CM Punk is a marquee match you do at the second biggest show of the year, and you make it for the world title. Hell, you could even strap up CM Punk and have him drop it just a few weeks later to Gunther. Certainly, Punk cannot be counted on to have a long title reign, given his injury history over the last couple of years. But you could have him win it and immediately drop it to Gunther. And then you could have Gunther get a big win over a legend like CM Punk. Instead, you get CM Punk out here interfering in the finish of the match, a very good match, but it made no sense. And we see after, you know, he comes out, he does the run-in. I'll give him credit on how they shot this, because they're shooting it from, with the camera, from the outside ring apron. You know, McIntyre has Priest pinned. He hit the Claymore like three or four times in this match. He's got Priest pinned. And the referee had been taken out. So out runs another referee, and they're shooting from outside the ring, so you can't see the ref's face. One, two, and then he stops the pin. And then the camera swings around, and it's Punk screwing Drew McIntyre, and he gives him the two, right? You kind of could tell it was him. You could see the low-top Air Jordans on him, the red and black. But they did hide it to shock you a little bit. Here's the problem. How dumb is personnel backstage that they let CM Punk just take a referee's shirt and run out to the ring? And Punk had made no bones about it. He was not hiding the fact on social media that he was over in Scotland. We knew he was there. Okay, but he is just standing backstage. They showed this after the fact. They put the video out on social media that he was standing back there watching. And then when the referee went down, he basically like took a referee's uniform and he runs out. What? Also, how is CM Punk a babyface at this point in time? I mean, again, following Cody's actions early, it's a very heel thing to do. Yet again, screwing over Drew McIntyre, this time in front of Drew McIntyre's fans in his home country of Scotland. And a lot of those fans cheered CM Punk. Let me just put this screenshot up on the screen. Let me make this a little bigger. Let me show you this. I make this full screen. Look at these fickle Scots turning their backs on their own countrymen to mark out for CM Punk. What the hell, you guys? You are so into Drew McIntyre. You're cheering Punk, screwing him over? Now, not everybody was. A lot of them were, though. Come on. What are you doing, Scotland? But just on face value, doesn't Punk look like a heel? He already cost the guy the title once. He does it a second time. Do they do a double turn eventually here? Because we talked about on the pod, you guys are all big wrestling fans. You know, CM Punk is 1,000 times better as a heel. I can only stomach him doing the, oh, gee, I'm so happy to be here, babyface routine for so long. I'd like to see a double turn. I mean, people are already cheering McIntyre because he's so entertaining and one of the best things on the show and has been now for a long time. We eventually get a, what do you guys think? I mean, on the chat, we could eventually get a double turn here because, I mean, very heelish actions out of CM Punk. Yeah, in the chat, shocked there were fans cheering Punk in Scotland. Niall checking in. I read on social media that they are thinking of bringing back Bad Blood in October with a Hell in a Cell match. Punk versus Drew would be perfect for that. I mean, if Punk's body can hold up to it and they continue this feud, it is a story that is well suited for Hell in a Cell down the line. Absolutely. Let's see what else. See some comments from Carl on the earlier discussion. Yeah, I mean, I think eventually you move this world title to Gunther. I think we all foresee that happening. So, I mean, does Gunther just demolish Priest at SummerSlam in a heel versus heel match? Again, very odd booking, but that's what they're going to get to. But it could be. Carl says, I think Punk is destined to be healed by early fall. I sure hope so. Babyface CM Punk ain't where it's at, man. It's not where it's at for me. So, yeah, I mean, that's the show. Punk was on the post-show scrum. Post-show scrum was nothing to watch. I mean, it was all fans in there. No hard questions. Punk, again, kind of acted like an asshole in the scrum. Very heelish in the scrum. He did come with baked goods. You know, no going off script for Punk, but he had some baked goods. He had some donuts, I believe it was. When Damian Priest came in, he forced the media members there to give him a standing ovation. I mean, it wasn't much for media questions. Very softball press conference. Not many notes from that. But yeah, I mean, that was Clash of the Castle. I wanted to talk about it while it's still relatively fresh in my mind. I didn't want to wait till Thursday because we kind of missed the period where people are thinking about it. Because look, it is almost 6 o'clock Central Time. It's like an hour until Monday Night Raw goes on the air. So maybe we'll get some clarity on some of these stories tonight. You guys can talk with us each and every day. If I could talk, man, I host the show and this is more than I'm used to talking on one podcast. It's a little difficult to do these one man shows, but you guys, I got to say, you've made it a lot easier with this active chat. Really appreciate all you guys who have been tuning in and talking. Justin says 30 minutes until Uncle Howdy. Maybe. Punk was also wearing a Glasgow Celtic top. The arch rival team of McIntyre's beloved Glasgow Rangers. Indeed. Scrap the media scrums. I mean, if nobody's going to ask tough questions, they don't really serve much purpose. Matt Camp has talked with me a lot about this over on BR. Promotion just looks at that as part of the show. They don't want tough questions. They want you to be happy to be there. They want to control the narrative. And unfortunately, most of the media members play right into that with their softball questions. Yeah, have the scrum started after the merger? WWE was doing them before the merger. Now, of course, AEW, they've been doing them since the very beginning of the promotion. But yeah, WWE, they did start them before the merger because I know they were doing them a year or two ago. So it was definitely before the merger happened. So appreciate that, John. Thank you. Lots to talk about. Had a lot of things in my mind and I wanted to put out content for our listeners. And appreciate you guys all tuning in. So yeah, we will definitely be back Thursday night. We're going to be doing a flagship. We got another Top Rope Nation Classics coming at you by the end of the month. We're going to be covering Vengeance 2005, which is a really good show I've not seen in a long time. It's also an era we haven't covered much on Top Rope Nation Classics. So looking forward to doing that with Justin and Jesse here in a couple of weeks. Should be a lot of fun. We'll probably be talking some AEW on Thursday night. MJF is his first official match back this Wednesday night against Roosh. We'll be talking about that as well. Hope you guys will all join us live or on demand for that. And again, if you're new to the channel and you've never seen one of these shows, appreciate you tuning in. Subscribe, hit the like button. All of you guys that are here, hit the like button if you haven't. It helps the algorithm. But also join the Facebook group. If you go on Facebook, search Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion. We have a great group of people in there. They're talking wrestling every day. Would love to have you join in on the discussion. Those are all the free ways you can support the show. And like I said earlier, if you really want to support us, the number one way is by becoming a patron. If you want to scan that QR code on the screen right now, it'll take you right to our Patreon page. There are over 150 bonus shows available. $5 a month gets you instant access to all of that, to merch giveaways, to virtual hangouts, direct DM to me. You can even come and be a guest on the show as one of the benefits of one of the tiers. You can read all about it. It's patreon.com/toprope nation. Without the Patreon supporters, we would not be doing the show anymore. So you all really make this possible. Almost 8 years now. Show started in July of 2016. Hard to believe. Coming up on our 8-year anniversary. All right, guys. Well, that's all I had. So unless you have any questions for me in the chat, I'm about to wrap it up. I'll take one more look at the chat, and then I'm going to be good to go. Start getting dinner in the oven for tonight with the fam. I don't see any questions, you guys. So I think we're going to take it home. So you can follow me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, X, at Ryan Droste, Droste. You can find the show at Top Rope Nation. Thank you, Carl. He says, any non-Patreon guys, I would highly recommend it. Absolutely. I think it's our best work. Those classic shows are so much fun. All right. I'm going to call it a day. See all of you in, 72 hours? A little more than that, Thursday night. We'll be back here on the channel. Be back on your podcast feed then. Take care. We'll see you then, everybody. Have a good week and enjoy Monday Night Raw.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.